Christian camping has been around for many generations, and although the rumors that it is slowly dying are out there, that can't be farther from the truth. On today's Trail to Adventure, we'll hear from a young man that has dedicated his life to sharing the gospel message through Christian camping. He'll tell us about how he has been blessed by camping and how he sees camping now and into the future. He'll also share a hunting story of his best archery buck that he took many years ago in the woods and fields of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. So sit back and enjoy as you come along with us on the Trail to Adventure, brought to you by God's Great Outdoors.
Thanks for the introduction, Adam. Looking forward to today's program. We've got something, as we usually say almost every week, we've got something special, something that's going to be interesting for me. My son, Nicholas, is here with us today. We're going to talk a little bit today about outdoor ministry and kids ministry. And Nick has been involved in ministry for how many years, Nick?
Probably about 7.
Let's talk a little bit about hunting first, seeing we're an outdoor program. Hunting and fishing, you do a lot with that, and we're going to get into the ministry part, but if you want to, why don't you share us, first of all, maybe one of your favorite hunts that you've ever had, especially with archery, because we're going to talk about archery.
So probably my favorite one, the first buck I ever got to take with the bow. I was 16 years old. It was Friday the 13th, October, full moon, really kind of an eerie night, kind of foggy out. Got into the stand, had it all set, and this was a traditional stand that I usually sat. Traditionally saw tons of bucks in there, lots and lots of deer. Had a 7-point come in fairly early, small, either a real big year and a half or a small 2.5. Right at dark, I heard some crashing coming in from off to my left. All the deer picked their heads up and looked, and all I could see were two big bodies making their way through the swamp. Came in and couldn't get a shot. I had too many sets of eyes in front of me. Couldn't get my bow up, couldn't get drawn on them. And finally, the bigger of the two bucks that had come in kind of charged another deer that was in front. When it did that, I was able to get my bow up. It pulled all the deer's attention off from me. Got the bow up, was able to get drawn as it stood broadside, released the arrow. It was the first time I'd released an arrow at a deer before and didn't quite know what to expect. Looked good, felt really good, but all the deer kind of scattered, and there were so many deer I couldn't tell which way he went. Couldn't tell really anything, and I heard a crash back in the swamp, but there was so much crashing, I just couldn't quite tell what if it was him or not. Waited until it got dark, got down and looked, thought everything was great. I remember you noticed right away, you said, "You're missing an arrow," as I walked up to the truck. And I couldn't really talk. All I said was, "He's sitting in a really big 8-point. We went and tracked. When we got to it, it ended up being a really big, wide 9-point. That I hadn't even noticed the 9th point on it. I was too focused on trying to get the shot. It was just so exciting to get to do that for my first buck with the bow. Just the way it worked out, the number of deer that I had in front of me and saw that night, being Friday the 13th and a full moon, it was just very exciting for me. I absolutely loved it, and I love that that deer is now hanging on the wall.
Yeah, and that one's hanging in camp. I believe you haven't taken that one yet.
Yeah.
That one will probably stay in camp. That was actually, I just recalled that was your second 9-point that year out of that same stand.
Yeah.
One with the rifle and one with the bow, and both special memories. And I got to be there. Amazing memories, especially for father and sons and fathers and daughters. And Nick, your daughter at 6 years old took her first buck.
Seven
years old, sorry. And took a 12-point, that wasn't our goal. Our goal was for her to take the first buck that walked in, and the first one that came in and gave her a shot ended up being a 12-point. And she still enjoys every day. That didn't spoil her, and she's 13 now and has taken 4 or 5 bucks now.
Yep.
So she's a good hunter, and she loves to be out there. And we're gonna move on from hunting stories to what's going on in not only your life in ministry, and but also what's going on kind of in the outdoor part of especially children's ministry and outdoor ministry. And this morning, we've got a co-host. Adam is back with us and going to get a chance to share some time with him. Because Adam, you've actually got a connection to Nick and through camping through your wife.
Yeah, actually, my wife went to Lake Ellen camp in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan many years ago. And met this guy, and he's been, well, involved in camping ministry ever since then, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of off and on, maybe got out of it for a little while, but you've been doing it for quite a few years.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, I worked a lot of summer staff as a lot of college age kids and late high school get the chance to do. And that was actually when I got to meet your wife, was the summer of 2003. And then it was in 2017, we started back into full time with camping ministry.
And it's just funny the way that, again, the way that God brings people together, and you see, you know, you knew my wife many years ago. I had no idea who your dad was back then. And now your dad lives, 10 minutes away. And here we are putting together a radio show. And just the way that you see the connections that form and move through like that. And it had nothing to do with you knowing my wife, how I ended up knowing your dad or anything like that. So it's funny to see the connections. And I got to spend time at one of the men's retreats at the camp that you were running. And it was spectacular. It was one of the most amazing weekends to see, twice we were there, and both times to see the excitement in all the guys that were out there, and the excitement for Christ was just, it was unparalleled to see that. And it's one of the things that I will remember forever, how great those weekends were.
We absolutely love men's retreats, especially. It's so much fun camping to get a group of guys together, get them kind of out of their comfort zone a little bit, but around other men, getting the chance to share and just to be regular guys. So it's, you're getting the chance kind of put down your walls, put down your guards, and just be a guy with other men. It's an awesome opportunity. I absolutely love the men's retreats that camps run.
Yeah. And we've had some great camps. Our family has been very involved with camping, especially Lake Ellen Camp until recently. You know, your grandpa, my dad, helped build the camp. I counseled. I grew up there. I counseled there. Linda counseled there, my wife. And unfortunately, a couple of years ago, it was closed. And you guys don't even know this today, but we've had a couple of conversations today. And there's a good move on trying to get Lake Ellen back open, because those listeners that are in Northeast Wisconsin and in the Upper Peninsula, many of you may have grown up there or know of the camp. And it's been a shame that it's closed, because so many lives were affected for Christ there. And I grew up there, you know, learning a lot about the outdoors under some men like Jerry Kriegel and Darwin Wilson, and shooting archery and shooting riflery and fishing. And it was just a great time together. And we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to have you share a little bit about where you've come from since Lake Ellen, the ministry that you're operating and helping camps and churches with, and then where you're at now and what's happening there. Let's go to a break.
For the last 26 years, God's Great Outdoors Trail to Adventure has been broadcast out to win men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. This is only possible because of the generosity of our listeners. Thank you to all that have generously supported us in the past. God has blessed us because of you. We pray that you will feel His blessings as well. Additional underwriting support has been supplied by Matthews Archery, the leader in the archery industry, Mission Archery, the revolutionary crossbow technology, Three Rivers Archery, supplying everything that you need to make your own traditional archery equipment, and Hunter's Safety Systems. Saving lives is what we do. God's Great Outdoors has produced many ministry tools, including tracks, DVDs, and books to help you reach others for Jesus Christ. You can access these items and other God's Great Outdoors items, as well as much more, at our website, ggoutdoors.org. That's ggoutdoors.org. It's time now for Dean's Devotional. The Trail Home, John 14, 1-3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you, because I am going to be there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will also be. I've been lost in the swamps of Michigan's Upper Peninsula in the dark of night. I've been lost for hours on the backside of mountains in the high Rockies of Colorado. I've been lost on big lakes in the Canadian wilderness late at night. I've gone down the wrong roads and ended up in places I shouldn't be, in cities. There's a sick feeling in our stomachs when we get lost, and the question when we might get out. We just want to get home and feel safe. A very early memory of mine is riding with my mother on a snowmobile. At the time, I felt like we were miles from our camp. We got the snowmobile hopelessly stuck in deep snow, and my mom said we would have to walk back. I was frightened, as it was late in the afternoon, and I felt like we were lost. I asked my mom, "Mommy, aren't you scared?" She was not, and we made it back safely. There was a trail that was laid by the snowmobiles that led directly back to where we needed to be. We followed that trail back home. In Psalms 26:3, we are reminded of God's truth of the trail that leads us. Your unfailing love is always before me. I have journeyed down your path of truth. The older I get, the more I look forward to being home when I'm away. I also begin looking forward to the time when we'll all be together in our heavenly home for all eternity. No one should be lost and wandering through life without a clear path home. That's why, by God's grace, I'm committed to helping people encounter Jesus and equipping them to travel the path of God's Word. As a kid, I was taught to use a compass to find the right path while at Bible camp. At the same camp, I was taught how to follow the path that God has put my life on. There are many young people and old alike that have found the path God has for them at a Bible camp. If you don't know where your path leads when you leave this life, look to Jesus Christ. I've had many people tell me that they believe there are multiple ways to heaven for them. They may even believe that one of those ways is Jesus Christ. The problem with that thinking is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The verse doesn't say, "I am one way." It says, "I am the way." If we want to find the right trail to an eternal home in heaven, there's just one way home, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Follow the only trail that will bring you home. This has been Dean's Devotional. For more, look to our Facebook page, God's Great Outdoors, Trail to Adventure.
Okay, welcome back. Again, we're with my son, Nicholas, and we're talking about some camping ministries, and you've got a new adventure now. And first, tell us a little bit about another ministry that you've started, and I think it's a great ministry, and it's well needed, but then you can tell us a little bit about where you're at now and what's happening.
Yeah, my wife, Corianne, and I, and actually we met up at Lake Ellen as well when we were up there on staff, actually working with Adam's wife as well, was when we met and met up there at the camp. My wife and I, when Lake Ellen closed, God was leading us at that time. Through camp, we had been working with many churches, working with some other ministries, working in youth ministry specifically, because there's been a lot of churches that have kind of been letting their junior high and senior high ministries not really fall apart, but they've been kind of neglected, might be a good word to use, for some churches. Not all churches. Some churches have amazing, thriving junior high, senior high ministries, but it's been so difficult with some of the challenges that have been thrown at junior high and senior high kids that a lot of churches just were unprepared for how to work with youth. And what would happen is youth pastors were getting burned out very quickly. A lot of youth leaders were having difficulty keeping up. They were having a lot of responsibility thrown at them with not a lot of resources. One of the things that my wife and I were able to do while at Lake Ellen was work with a lot of different churches and help to strengthen their ministries. So Corianne and I spent a lot of time praying about it and talking about it and felt God leading us to start a ministry where we specifically worked with those churches and with those groups, helped them find leaders, helped them rework youth groups or youth ministries that they hadn't really changed at all in 20, 30, 40 years, some of them, and they were having trouble reaching their community specifically. What we decided to do then is we called up some of the pastors that we had been working with and told them that even though Lake Ellen was closed, we were still willing to continue to work and help. So we did training or have done training for how to find leaders, different topics to teach on, games and activities, outings, things like that, but ways that they can rework their church, junior high, senior high ministry to better reach their community and make more of an impact on their community.
And kids, you know, it's an important thing because kids these days have so many sources of entertainment, I guess you'd say, between cell phones and tablets and computers and TVs, and it seems like it's so easy for kids to just be like, "Oh no, I'm entertained enough. I don't need to go and hang out with a bunch of other kids or stuff like that." So this is a extremely important thing to get these kids involved and to just, you know, become closer in a group and closer to God through all of it.
Oh, absolutely. And what we found was, you know, there's a number of different statistics that are out there. but most people are looking somewhere between 80 and 90% of kids that grew up in church when they leave their parents' home. So they graduate high school, either they go off to college, they begin working. Right now, the national statistic sits between 80 and 90% of kids will be absent then from church. They have a complete clean break for up to 10 years before they set foot back into a church, which is a terrible, sad number. What we found was, and we looked at the 80%, we looked at, you know, the number of kids that were leaving. And instead what we did, focusing on that, we looked at the 10 or 20% that were staying. Why were they staying? What was the cause that they didn't leave? And there was a number of different things. Some of them were the, you know, a pastor's kid was their reasoning for staying where they grew up in the church. Now that can go one of two ways because pastor kids are usually one extreme or the other. The other was they were involved in the church. So whether they were used to help in the AV for Sunday mornings, they were helping do food service, things like that. They got involved with the church. And when they graduated or left home, they continued then with the church because they saw themselves as having an ability to serve. The last one, though, was the one that we saw that made the most impact. And that was somebody in the church, man or woman, leader, poured into that youth. It wasn't their son or daughter. It was somebody else. And they made a specific effort and they poured into that young man or young woman. And they showed them that they were loved. They were modeling Christ's love for them. And that was a main reason for their growth and their reason for staying in the church.
And, you know, we're called to that. It's the Bible calls for the older men and the older women to mentor and care for those younger individuals. You know, it's our church, we were just talking the other day that we had 49 kids in our junior church. And we're a small church, 49 kids. And we had another 10 or 15 kids still in the sanctuary during church, young kids, and plus our senior high. So there's an amazing group coming up of numbers of kids in a lot of churches. So from there, when you're in the middle of building this ministry, much to my wife's chagrin, you got called somewhere else. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit about where you're at, what's happening there with ministry, where you see it going, and what's really in the outdoors, especially how are kids being served?
Sure. So one of the things that we did with our ministry is having a camping ministry background. Corianne and I said we would be willing to go and speak at camps, whether it be for women's retreats, men's retreats, summer camp, speaking to youth. And I got a phone call from a very good friend of mine, Lucas Smith, one day, right before summer hit. And there was a camp in just outside Brainerd, Minnesota, in a little town called Pillager, that had a speaker back out on them, kind of last minute, which in April or May, that's last minute for camps, trying to line up a speaker for a week. And he said, hey, I don't know if you're interested, but we need somebody to come and speak out here. So my wife and I took time, we prayed about it, agreed to come out and speak. And I actually got to kick off their summer then, being their first speaker for the summer. Went out, and we didn't know where God was leading at that time, but we talked with their director at the time and just had a real casual conversation about the fact that they needed a program director. And that was the position that I held at Lake Ellen. I was the program director there. They said they were in need of one, and we just had a conversation where we bounced questions off each other. My wife joined us. And we left that week, and God said, you know, keep the communication lines open. Well, I talked to Tony then after that, and he said, hey, if you're interested in doing a more formal interview, let me know. So Corianne and I prayed about it, felt God leading us to continue the conversation. It just one step after another, every time we'd have another conversation, we'd pray about it, and God would say, you know what, do one more, until finally they offered us a position out there. Through praying about it, through talking to spiritual mentors around us, seeking godly counsel, we felt God was calling us out there. So as much as it pained us as well to move out to Minnesota from the UP, we said it would probably be more painful for us to not follow where God was calling us.
Yeah, and you know, as much as we didn't want to see you go, if you're not following where God's calling you, you're in the wrong position.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that we liked about this camp is they saw the ministry that we were doing working with churches and said, hey, you can continue that here, because we still felt called to that. So we've had the opportunity to go out there. Actually, we've been out there about 2 weeks now, just getting the chance to kind of learn how they run camp. But one of the cool things with camping ministry that we've been able to see, one of the fastest growing sports right now across the U.S., especially for youth, is archery. It's fun to see just how archery plays in youth ministry and especially in camping ministry. It's a great opportunity for the outdoors. I know a lot of camps that have just an amazing, thriving archery program. And it's so easy to tie the gospel in when you've got a row of kids there. You're teaching them archery. You're teaching them the parts of the bow. You're teaching them how to stand. And then especially, and I use this almost every time we shoot, I talk about where the origin of the word sin comes from and missing the mark. And it's a great opportunity where you can take a kid who's never picked up a bow before, and after working with them a little bit, and they go from not knowing what end goes in the target to hitting consistently around the bullseye and hitting their mark. It's a great opportunity that we've had to do that over the years, whether it was at Lake Ellen, whether I was visiting other camps and just asking, hey, can I go up and do some archery with the kids? And we've absolutely loved it, and another chance to get into the outdoors and get kids excited about something in the outdoors.
So tell us a little bit more about Camp Jim, what's happening there, how people can find you, I guess, before you're done. Make sure if people want to find you about your other ministry, but especially about Camp Jim, how they can find Camp Jim, and if they're looking for a camp for their kids this summer or for themselves, the family camps or whatever, give us that information too.
Absolutely. So the camp is located, like I said, just outside Brainerd, which is about 2 hours north of Minneapolis-St. Paul area. The camp itself holds about 250 campers there total, and the focus of the camp is to share the gospel, to get the opportunity, share gospel with young men, young women. We run about 500 campers a summer, and we do that intentionally so that we're able to keep the relation end, rather than trying to see how many we can get in, doing each week at about 100. That way you're able to reach kids on a deeper level. I know that there's a lot of camps spread all across the U.S. I guess I would encourage, if you're interested at all in camping, a lot of people got to do it when they were kids. There's a lot of kids that have never got the opportunity to go to a camp, whether it's in the summer. Camps are on off season. So we actually just ran our junior high, senior high retreat, where we had just over 200 people at the camp getting the chance to hear the gospel on a weekend, so a Friday through Sunday. But if you're looking at all at going to a camp, there's a lot of great resources out there. The Christian Camping Conference Association, so 3CA, you can check their website for camps in your area. If you're looking for something that's well-grounded in the gospel and a great spot to teach or hear teaching, solid teaching, you can check there. Like I said, we're located in the Brainerd, Minnesota area. And you can find us either on social media. Again, it's Camp Jim, J-I-M, and it stands for Jesus is Mine. So the camp was founded back in the 30s. So it's been around a rather long time. But you can find us online, campjim.org. Otherwise, you can find us on social media as well. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I believe. But you can find us there as well.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Nick Hulse, the son of our host, Dean Hulse, and for both of them and myself, Adam Erickson, saying goodbye. And we hope to see you next week on the Trail to Adventure from God's Great Outdoors. Time now for the Ministry Minute. In today's Ministry Minute, we'd like to tell you more about Camp Jim. While there are quality gospel teaching Bible camps across the country, if you're looking for a quality camp in Minnesota, Camp Jim could meet your needs. Camp Jim exists to lovingly teach and model the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ and to encourage people of all ages to grow in faith and service. At Camp Jim, they've been providing quality, affordable, year-round camps, rentals, and retreats to churches, youth, families, and adults for over 90 years, and they look forward to serving you. If you want more information, you can reach them through their website, campjim.org. Many of us have been turned down the right path in life by a Bible camp. Lives seem much busier today than they were 20 or 30 years ago. But the effect that Bible camps have on the lives of children and other generations hasn't changed. Camps have so much to offer for those that are in need of finding a Savior or staying on the right path. If you attended a Bible camp as a child, make sure your kids or grandkids get that same opportunity. If you don't have any family to send, find a child that needs to be there and send them. It's an investment that has an eternal return. This has been God's Great Outdoors Trails to Adventure. We look forward to seeing you next time. For your host, Dean Hulse, I'm Adam Erickson. Have a good day.